This is Moe and McGee on Fantasy.
Everybody, welcome in. It's been a while, Kevin. This is Moe and McGee on TKD. The season has come down to the last week, and I don't know, you know, for this league, we all pay attention to it a lot. I don't know if you could ask for a better situation. Every single matchup matters.
Every single matchup matters, and it matters for everybody except Garrett. For the case of Greg, a lot of us are in contention for the playoffs, and then you have the toilet bowl matchup for the punishment, mano a mano. I think we talked about this a little bit before the pod. Don't think we've ever seen this before. Derek versus Kramer.
No, it's going to be a true battle of the bottom dwelling teams. What's different than most other years is usually there's a clear and away just shit bowl guy. Usually like a Garrett or before Garrett, it was Hari for years and years. But usually there's just like one terrible guy. This year, everyone is right in. I mean, Kramer and Derek really are. One of them is going to end up like one game out of the playoffs, and the other is going to be the loser of the league. So it's really tight, and everyone from the 10 seed up to the 3 seed is playoff spots in jeopardy this weekend.
Yeah, it's exciting. And, you know, I think we owe it all to the commissioner for bringing parity and competitive balance to the league. So thank you, Luke.
Yes, he's a regular Roger Goodell, Lucas. So as we do, Kevin, we're going to go through each team. We haven't talked about these teams in a while, so it's going to be a lot fresher than maybe some of the earlier ones that we did. Go through each team, talk about where they're at, talk about their team. For the teams that we know are going to be in the playoffs, like these next two, we can kind of talk about what the future holds for them. And let's kick it off with none other than Garrett Grabaugh. Still the most, you know, lackadaisical fraud number one clinch a bye team I've ever seen.
It is ridiculous. Garrett is third to last in points, and he owns, I mean, he only has, 19 more points than Dusty for the least points in the league, but has somehow put together a 9-1 season. Could be 10 here. As we mentioned, he's the only one that's not playing for something. However, on the other side, Carter battling for a playoff spot.
Yeah, and as you know, we look at Garrett's team, it's was really good, and like all the players on his team have been really good at one point of the season. And maybe that's kind of what has propelled Garrett, is enough of them have clicked at the same time where he hasn't needed a few of them to be hot. But right now, I would say the team is kind of trending down. CJ Stroud has been good, but mm-hmm. has not been the superstar that he was for a stretch there.
He's no Bryce Young. Yep.
Kevin, I don't need you to cry on this podcast, so let's just not bring that draft up. But Bijan and Jameer, Bijan's usage is still, it's been better of late, but still befuddling. Jameer Gibbs is now locked in with the David Montgomery handcuff, unfortunately. And then his wide receivers are all very, like, as much as we thought Adam Thielen was going to be like a consistent guy, him, Calvin Ridley, DeAndre Hopkins have all been pretty boom bust.
Yeah. Yep. They've all been streaky, but streaky enough in a given week to get the wins. Luckily, Garrett doesn't need a win here. He doesn't need one next week either. He's afforded the luxury of kind of a double bye week here. And he can coach him up and prepare for whoever he faces in the semifinals.
All right, Kevin. Over under 0.5 playoff wins for Garrett Grabaugh.
Oh, under, because I'm gonna fuck.
So you don't think he has it in him to make a run for the championship? You don't think this is a championship roster?
I don't think it's championship roster. He's put together 9 wins. It is very clearly a high enough floor team that even when you're not excited about all these guys, they score points. Can he win those 2 games to get a championship? Sure, he can. But do I think there are better teams that I will have in my head at least favored to beat him? Yes, I think he will have to win 2 underdog matchups in order to get the championship.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, there's not much more to say about it. He's going to be an underdog, but he's earned the spot to be an underdog in the playoffs. You know, me and you might be looking at this next week without a chance at the playoffs. So hats off to Gary. Yeah. He battled.
Yeah. Coached him up. Had a boy, Gary.
A team that started 0-3, Kevin, if you can believe this, 0-3, Greg Rainey, the TKD Daddies, started 0-3, has since went 8-2 in his last 10 matchups. This is a team that is, you know, locked in with high-end running back talent, and then he has had either 1 or 2 wide receivers that have gone off, Kevin. He has legitimately benched Breece Hall the last 2 weeks. That's how deep this guy is at running back.
Yeah, you're kind of cutting out here. What I heard is that he's benched Breece Hall this week because he's just that flush at running back, and that's pretty incredible. Bad news is that wide receiver is maybe where he's a little bit weaker, and I'm sure if he could flip Breece Hall for a wide receiver right now, oh my God, he absolutely would. Picked up Amari Cooper. He's going to be playing Amari Cooper. And he's in a great spot where he's locked into the playoffs, as you mentioned. Battling for that bye spot. I like Greg's team that much, but looking at it now, looking at how solid Pacheco's been throughout the season, Kamara, Zach Moss with the JT injury, leaning on those running backs, I think I like him to get that second bye spot.
All right, Kevin, you were cutting out there too, but what I heard is that the Chiefs suck ass and become a Taylor Swift sideshow.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Oops. No, I don't need it. I don't need to do that whole rant again. I'm just joking, guys. Just joking, Chiefs fans. That loss to the Packers, though, woof.
Yikes.
Anyway, so Greg, he's most likely going to be set up with a bye here as well. I think teams that are set up like this, he has 2 really solid running backs in Pacheco and Kamara. And then Zach Moss didn't have the best showing, but we've seen it when he's lead back, it can be pretty explosive. If he can just have Nico Collins lock in, you know, I think this is a very, very dangerous team. So a different tune than we were talking about Garrett's. This team has the high-end talent everywhere that's a consistent producer.
Absolutely. And that definitely has to be a favorite to run the table and be competing for a championship here in a few weeks.
All right, Kevin. Now we got kind of a group of 3 7-6 teams. So these guys do have a leg up. All are at kind of 60% or above to make the playoffs. We're going to start with Truck. He's around 90% chance to make the playoffs. He's been a high-scoring team all year. Lost a brutal one to Luke last week, 127-121. But has Devin Achane back, A.J. Brown, Amon-Ra St. Brown. We've been talking about this team. Every time we've done this podcast, we've said that this team is very dangerous. However, the running back 2 spot is still very, very brutal with Kenneth Walker injured, Ramondre Stevenson injured. He's starting Samaje Perine this week in a must-win game. It gets me a little worried.
Yeah, I'm worried as well. I think Brad will have enough to beat Dan this week, despite having to play Samaje Perine. So that'll give him another week or two well, I guess 1 week to get Kenneth Walker back or Ramondre Stevenson. I think you feel a lot better about this team with those guys back. You can lean on AJ Brown, Amon-Ra St. Brown, those guys you talked about. Brad's probably my favorite to get the championship, to be honest.
Wow. What makes you so confident?
Because it's Brad's year. It just, you kind of got that feeling in the air. But actually, I'm really high on AJ Brown and Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think they're going to finish the season strong. Both are going to be playing, their teams are going to be playing for better playoff spots. I love Lamar Jackson on the quarterback side. I just think, even though there's the questions on the RB2 spot, I feel good enough about the rest of that team. As long as Brad doesn't panic and play a bad flex at some point, we'll be okay.
Yeah, and I mean, Trey McBride on bye this week, but he's been a stud since Brad picked him up too. So you kind of have a locked in like five core guys. That's something that I'm pretty big on. If you can have five guys you can rely on, as long as you're kind of pulling somewhat successful levers at those other spots, you can be pretty safe. So I do feel good about Brad. And I think if you're a team like, you know, Greg or Garrett, who are probably looking at buys, you're a little scared if you see, you know, Brad on your side of the bracket.
Yep, absolutely. Who's next team, Logan?
Yeah, the next team is the team that beat Brad last week by the skin of his teeth. It was Luke Higgins and the Folsom Prisoners had a big week last week. And now, you know, we're recording this on Thursday, so you guys will probably hear it on Friday, I'm guessing, if Kevin can get his act together.
Probably not.
But he pulled the Zeke Elliott lever out of nowhere, has 21 points on this Thursday night against you, Kevin. The rest of his team, he has the best player in fantasy, Tyreek Hill. Also has Travis Kelce, who at underwhelming, I suppose, is the right word. He's the number two tight end in fantasy, but I think you're expecting a little more. You're expecting like a top 10 fantasy asset, and he's just not been that. But still, you know, Brandon Ayuk, Travis Kelce, has enough interesting pieces with Raheem Mostert and, running backs are weak, Kevin. Do you think the wide receivers though, can the wide receivers and Kelce can carry him?
Yeah, I unfortunately I do. The running backs are weak, but with Zeke getting 21 this week, I think Luke is going to be safe and make the playoffs. You talked about having five guys you can lean on. I don't know that he has five guys, but Tyreek, Ayuk, and Lockett, I think are strong enough. Oh, and Kelce, by the way. Strong enough that four should do just fine for Luke. He's another team that I really like. I probably put him third on my playoff favorites list. Quarterback has been an issue, but you know, when you have Travis Kelce and you have the potential to get 30 points from your tight end spot, even though he hasn't done good. And then, oh yeah, Tyreek's going to get you 26 every week.
Yeah, Kevin, I don't think I agree with you on the, I think he's a little lower on the, I think he's a little lower on the playoff rankings. I think when you go through quarterback, running back, and you have huge question marks on all three of those, Tyreek Hill is great. Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, probably the best 1-2 punch in fantasy. But, man, he really needs Travis Kelce to score over 20 for him to have a high-scoring week. I think you're just asking too much from guys like Ayuk and Lockett for you to win a championship. So he's a little further down on my rankings if you ask me.
I don't know. This 21 points sitting in front of me right now from Ezekiel Elliott's pretty fucking annoying.
Yeah, but then you look at, like, so he is also starting Najee Harris, has 3.3 points. So know, give Zeke 10, you know, give 10 of Zeke's to Najee, and they're both at their projection and no skin, you know.
At halftime? Yeah.
There's 5 minutes left in the third quarter. Game's almost over.
No, I guess my point is as long as Ramondre Stevenson is out, I do feel a lot better about Ezekiel Elliott. And then I have to believe that Raheem Mostert probably plays over Najee Harris rest of the season. It's probably my take. I know you don't feel great about Raheem, but I mean, he's been really solid in spots. And when that Miami offense looked better, he's gotten more than enough points to be playable.
So the playoff schedule for them, Kevin, listen to this for the Dolphins. So the Jets next week. So Tyreek did go for 25 against them a few weeks ago. He did go off, but I got to believe the second time around, the Jets are not going to, you know, Sauce will have a little better game. He still might go off, but I don't think the running game is going to be going against the Jets. And then they face Dallas and Baltimore in the playoffs. Just some tough defenses for, I don't know. As you can tell, not very big on Luke's team. So I don't know. I don't want to keep.
Could turn into shutouts. Okay. Next up on league standings, we go back to Carter.
Carter, also kind of another close loss last week. I beat him by 7 points. It was really tight coming down the stretch there. Another team built on 2 running backs, but also, you know, what some other teams don't have that have these running backs is he has wide receivers that have been really good. Mike Evans, believe it or not, Kevin, top 10 wide receiver on the season. And then Jalen Waddle's been playing better.
Yeah. Yep. He has Cortland Sutton in there right now, but we'll have the opportunity to swap Garrett Wilson in or out depending on matchup. Yeah, those wide receivers are a real strength, and we've seen it, especially last year and years before from Josh Jacobs and Derrick Henry, that especially as we get a little bit colder in terms of weather, maybe these teams rely on the run a little bit more. Maybe we see those guys have a little bit bigger games. Solid team. And I know he's been kind of sweating the quarterbacks a little bit with Justin Fields, and sometimes Joshua Dobbs had the negative points a couple weeks ago. So there are some question marks on this team, but in general, I feel pretty good about Carter's team.
Yeah, Tractor Cito last 2 weeks, 20 points, 25 points. It's that season, Kevin. Tractor Cito season. Tight end is an interesting kind of quandary. He has 2 good ones. Most of the league can't find 1 good one. He has two that, you know, are decent starts. He has Taysom Hill in right now. Where would you go? You know, Evan Ingram's been the number 5 tight end this season. He's getting 8-9 targets a game. Taysom Hill, though, is getting some of those high leverage carries as he does. Where do you go in the playoffs or, you know, in an important matchup this week? Taysom Hill, Evan Ingram.
I understand both perspectives. I probably go Evan Ingram just because I feel like that's pretty safe. But you can play Taysom Hill and they're going to trot him out there for a 3-touchdown game at some point every single season. The ceiling is so high with Taysom that I don't have a problem with playing either, to your point, but I'd probably lean on Ingram.
Okay. In your playoff rankings, is this a dangerous team if it gets in?
Yeah. This is probably the cutoff of teams that I like to contend for a title. I put them at 4th. Yep.
You're cutting off 3 of the top 5 scorers this season that are coming up next, Kevin.
I know. But some of them aren't going to make it in.
That's true. Probably 2 of them aren't going to make it in. So let's talk about one of them. That's you, Kevin. We're going to talk about you. You're at 6-7, highest scoring team in the league. What do you got, Kevin? What you know, highest projected point total in the league this week? Are you confident?
No, because fucking Zeke has 21.8 points. What? Jesus Christ. I've scored more points than anybody else in the league by about 80 points. That's like, for 14 weeks in the season, that's like 5 a week. Great wide receivers, DK, Keenan, DJ Moore, and Puka. And I have actually managed to play the right ones most of the time. Christian McCaffrey is the best running back in fantasy. But apparently, this team is hoping to go 500. And at this point, I'm projected to lose by 3 points. Yeah, it can go either way here. But I'm really nervous. I thought for sure that I honestly, until I was probably like 10 minutes into the game, I didn't realize that Luke had put Zeke into the lineup. I thought he was still rolling with Mostert. So I'm not feeling confident this week. I think it's a little bit worse than a coin flip's chance. If I get in, I'm a fucking world destroyer, though. So I don't know. I just don't know that I make it in.
Yeah, Kevin, the problem with your team is you have the five guys. McCaffrey, DK, Keenan, DJ Moore, and Puka. Mm-hmm. The problem is you can only play four of them in a given week because four of them are wide receivers. Backup running back. The Jalen Warren trade was a shrewd one for you. We traded Terry McLaurin for Jalen Warren. The last 3 weeks, though, he's kind of fallen off. It looked like it was going to be a slam dunk trade for you. All of a sudden, it's kind of looking like a washy trade. Terry McLaurin had zero catches on like two targets last week, so I'm not going to call it a wash. You probably won that trade. But
I probably won it, but yeah, it's not looking, oh, we have a little interception here. Oh, fuck. They gave it to Najee, though. Okay. Let's keep it rolling. never mind. God damn it. If Najee gets this touchdown, I'm going to be fucking pissed. What's up next? I can't focus.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Let's go to Woods.
Woods. Oh, what do you think about my team in terms of playoff contenders, I guess?
Yeah, I think it's you have, you know, four of, if you can play the right three receivers, I think you have four of the most deadly kind of combination of guys in the league. So if you can get all three receivers right, you're going to be a tough team to beat because McCaffrey's kind of, you know, banking almost 20-ish points, 25 points some weeks. And then if you can get 20 from two or three more of those, shit, you're almost up to 60, 70 points already, and that's three players. It just raises the floor of your team a lot, where I don't think teams like Greg and Luke, Garrett, they don't have the same floor as you. You know, your ceiling is also, you know, as high. If you get everything, if you get all three receivers right, plus McCaffrey, pretty deadly. Nice job, Kevin.
That's very nice. Thanks. Yeah.
We'll see how friendly you are in the next couple spots here. Next one is Ryan Woods. If you're talking about points in the league, Kevin, he's up there. He's in fourth. And he's once again, barely hoping to get to 500. This team has always been loaded. It's been loaded all season, has had some bad luck, as we've said a few times. But, Dak Prescott rolling. Travis Etienne is a, top five fantasy running back. Tony Pollard has started to come around. Debo's just had a big game. Michael Pittman seems like the number one receiver. And then, lo and behold, Stephon Diggs in the flex. And he honestly has, a really good bench with Godwin, Gus Edwards, Cole Kmet. Deep team, good team.
Logan, I've made a horrible mistake.
Uh-oh.
I've ranked all four of those teams that I've said are the top four playoff contending teams ahead of Ryan. And I think Ryan is, if Ryan can make the playoffs, this team is destroyer of worlds. Very few holes, very great upside. Forgive me, Ryan. I didn't recognize your game.
It's really good. You scored 160 last week, Kevin.
Yeah. Holy shit. I haven't had to play Ryan for a few weeks, so that's my apologies. Yeah, this team's really good. No holes. Travis Etienne, Tony Pollard, both those guys can be two touchdown in a game guys. Deebo Samuel, Michael Pittman Jr., Stephon Diggs, same story. You talked about five guys. He also has a great quarterback. Dak's playing close to MVP level right now. No holes. Wow. Great team, Ryan. Playoff favorite, number one.
It is weird, though. He had all these guys, but in week 10 and 11, so just a mere couple weeks ago, he had two straight weeks scoring under 90 points. So this team is, like we've said, really good and deep. However, there's something to be said that all of his players are on good enough teams where they don't necessarily need that person to do well. You following me?
I'm with you. You see the Deebo games where Deebo just gets his cardio in, runs 18 routes and gets two targets. Michael Pittman Jr., seen him before get, some lower score games.
Tony Pollard doesn't need to score a bunch for the Cowboys to do well.
And he hadn't really found the end zone until of late. Diggs has been kind of has cooled off after a decent start to the season. I can see the argument of these guys are on good offenses. And those good offenses do have other options that are also really good that they can pivot to. And if they all line up same week, like it sounds like it happened on 9 and 10, granted there were probably buys in there, Ryan can put up a low score, but fuck. I don't know. I don't want to face him.
All right, Kevin, I'm going to put the screws to you. You ranked Brad pretty high. There's a decent chance that Brad and Woods face off week one of the playoffs. Who'd you take in that matchup?
Without looking at playoff matchups, I'd go Ryan.
Wow. All right. Brad could have a magical season, all get taken away in week one. Rough.
Oh, sorry, Brad.
All right. Another 6-7 team. We'll go to me, Kevin. I'm the number five scoring team in fantasy in the league. I don't know, Kevin. I felt so good at times, and it seems like I've also had like every single person goes through injuries, so I'm not gonna be the bitch injury guy, but I really haven't had my full team all year. Once again, no one really has, but I think if you plug Mark Andrews into this, I look almost unstoppable, but unfortunately, I'm playing Gerald Everett this week and probably until I am done. So, yeah. But I have five guys. I have five guys, even though Eckler and DeAndre Swift have looked kind of brutal of late. I think, they're still the number one options on their teams. So with those two, Kyren coming back and just being a world beater, second best wide receiver in CeeDee Lamb. Chris Olave has turned it around. Just need enough from Gerald Everett and Jared Goff.
Yeah, I agree that you have five guys there. You're projected for 122. I think that's going to be consistent kind of rest of season. That's a solid score as long as you guys can stay healthy. I don't even think you would have really needed Andrews to stay healthy if Eckler just didn't look so slow. I think this is a really different team. That ceiling looks way different, but right now, Eckler isn't the exciting Eckler that we've gotten used to the last two or three seasons. And he, since he's come back, was that an ankle injury? Just hasn't looked electric. It's looked slow. Kyren Williams has done a really good job of beating up on the Cardinals this year, but can he do it against good defenses? We'll see. He did it against San Francisco too. I like your team. I think you should get the win over Dusty. My issue is, are the right people going to lose in front of you that you're going to make the playoffs? If you make the playoffs, you're another team that I wouldn't really feel too pleased about facing.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin, I've had real thoughts with myself about starting Jerome Ford over Austin Eckler this week, which seems like a goddamn sin, but he's been really bad. Last 3 weeks, 7, 9, and 4, he's just not catching the ball like he used to. I don't know if that's just Kellen Moore. That's just not his offense, I guess. But yeah, he's kind of robbed the ceiling away from my team. Cause if Eckler was rolling like he had been, and I had the number two running back in fantasy scoring 20 points a game, I think I'm easily one of the most dangerous teams out there with CD and Kyren going like they are. But unfortunately he's not. And I've had to pivot at quarterback 5 different times this season. Yeah, and my bench, just I cannot rely on anybody on my bench. Drake London, Jahan Dotson, both huge disappointments this year. Terry McLaurin, bad trade. I'm staring at one keeper option, really, like Tyjae Spears or Kyren Williams. Yeah, it's been a tough year, Kevin. All culminated 2 weeks ago. I had the second highest scoring team in the league and lost to Derek Huber.
Whoops. That was bad. And it probably cost you a playoff spot. We'll see what happens here though. This last week.
Yeah, if I was sitting here at 7-6 playing Dusty. Woof. All right.
Way different scenario there. Yep.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Daniel McBurgertown Swift Jr. Gets Justin Jefferson back this week. That's exciting for him.
Oh, yeah. Just in time. He needs the win here to over truck in order to make the playoffs. Also needs a little bit else to happen in front of him. Will it be a little too late? We'll see. I think it might be, unfortunately. He's forced a team that has been overloaded at running back all season. It's been... even put out the feeler looking for a wide receiver, willing to give up a running back. But because of JT's injury, James Conner and Brian Robinson on bye, all three of those guys out, he's forced to play Roshan Johnson here. If Dan can manage to get a win and have the right dominoes fall in front of him, he's a great team. Solid team. When he made that Justin Jefferson trade, I thought that, he should have been the favorite to win the league.
The Josh Allen trade?
Yeah, the Josh Allen for... Oh, did I say...
You said Jefferson, but it was, Josh Allen and Gabe Davis, TJ Hockenson for Tua, Devonta Smith, JT, and I think George Kittle. Hindsight's 2020, Kevin, but that trade is... tilted a little bit towards Derek.
It has. And a lot of it has to do with Jonathan Taylor injury. I think if we had healthy Jonathan Taylor this whole stretch, it probably doesn't tilt so hard to Derek. But now I'm not sure that Dan can make the playoffs.
Yeah, just think when you're starting Roshan Johnson and Elijah Moore, just two really, really bad options. They're not even top 50 at their position. I don't know if you can win that way unless you have a guy like Jefferson. You also have a guy like, Devonta Smith and George Kittle. You need them all three to have like ceiling games if he wants to win. It's a lot to ask for, though.
Well, it is a lot to ask for. It's what it's going to take to make the playoffs, though. That and help. So
that's right. Another team that needs a lot of help. Another team that needs a lot of help, Kevin. Dusty. Saquon Barkley, Cooper Kupp have been healthy. They came back. He really needed that. He's kind of came back into the picture a little bit. Obviously, he still has a chance at the playoffs. But Cooper Kupp and Saquon have not been the same players as they have been coming back from injury. The wide receivers outside of him, Zay Flowers and Rashi Rice, good, not great, not something you'd be like, I don't think you're overjoyed starting them as like your number one and two receivers. A lot of disappointments, you know, Damian Pierce has been disappointing, Miles Sanders, Hollywood Brown, Devin Singletary. Yeah, it's just been a tough year for Dusty. Still has a chance, though.
Still has a mathematical chance. Not a real chance, though. He needs everybody to lose in front of him, and he needs to score a bunch of points.
Has a bunch of points in it.
No, I don't think this team has a bunch of points in it. Even if he did make the playoffs, you kind of talked about those concerns that he has some nice players that I wouldn't mind starting, but you're relying on Rashi Rice to have big games. You're relying on Zay Flowers to have big games. You need Sam Laporta to find the end zone twice. With Saquon and Cooper Kupp not playing up to their superstar baseline levels, it's kind of more of a mid-team. And that's probably where Dusty, unfortunately, is going to find himself at the end of the season here.
But, Kevin, one thing he does not have to worry about is running the beer mile or doing any punishment or putting on a dress, because we have a true, like we said at the top, a true toilet bowl this week. We have Derek and Kramer squaring off for a true chance at Loserville. I know me personally, I might be locked into this matchup more than my own. Because, you know, I'm either going to sneak into the playoffs or not. I'm going to need some help. But this one, this is for all the marbles.
This is like an early championship in a way, except like,
yeah,
I don't know, maybe even a little more interest.
I don't want to be in their shoes, but can you imagine Derek and Kramer get to wake up on Sunday and have it all on the line? The excitement, the slight dread. I hope they are both sitting in front of Red Zone all day and just loving it. Or probably crying. One of the two.
Probably puking. Lots of puking.
So Derek is up first. He is higher in the standings due to points. As we've said, the trade has worked out pretty good for him. Josh Allen, number one scoring quarterback in fantasy. TJ Hockenson, the number one tight end in fantasy. Ja'Marr Chase had a big game with Browning last week. And he's getting just enough from David Montgomery and Chuba Hubbard. He's really turned it around. Two wins in a row.
Yeah, two wins in a row. And I don't know. They've been tight, but I don't know. You feel a little bit more confident about this team than you did 3 weeks ago, for sure. Chuba Hubbard, kind of against all odds. I think both of his touchdowns, I think he had two touchdowns last week, and both were against 8-man boxes. Yeah. Don't know if you can count on that rest of season.
2 weeks in a row, over 20 for Chuba.
Yeah. 8-man boxes, though. I love that Carolina team, but they're going to be facing a good defense this week in New Orleans. I don't know. I think he's going to need a classic Josh Allen, Gabe Davis, big week. He could manage if Ja'Marr Chase and TJ Hockenson have strong weeks themselves. I think 120 points is going to be enough here. Just has to find a way to get there.
Yeah. we've been talking about got to have five solid guys, or, you know, at least four. I think this team has three. So like you just said, can you get a David Montgomery fall into the end zone twice game? Can you get a Gabe Davis 70-yard touchdown game from him? Kind of the same, similar take as I have with Dan. Feels like you're asking for a lot for this team, but when you're in the toilet bowl and you're facing the other, you know, most losing team, you don't necessarily have to have a lot.
Yeah, it's 1 week. Just gotta kind of put it together for 1 week. It's high stakes. Oh man,
Hasn't been spoken yet, Kevin, is what is Derek's desire to be punished? Is it higher than his will to win?
Oh, 100%. Derek's been trying to sneakily just tank and end up with the punishment since that trade happened, I think. And to his dismay, he won the trade and has somehow won 2 weeks in a row. I don't know. I think Derek wants the punishment. I think that overpowers his will to win. He just wants to be punished.
All right, let's talk about Kramer. I think by far my people I want to see an address for comedy reasons, rankings, probably goes you first.
Probably. It makes sense.
Brad second. But Kramer's number three for funniest guys that are going to be in a dress. That pasty white skin is going to get torched out on the golf course if he loses. Not a bad team, Kevin. Really not. Like I said, one of these teams is going to win and finish like a win out of the playoffs. You know, not with points. Points is going to be brutal for Kramer. He's not scored many points this year, but... when you kind of look up and down, Jalen Hurts is a good quarterback. Rashad White's been solid. James Cook has been decent enough. Devontae Adams, T. Higgins hasn't been healthy all year, which kind of sucks. Dalton Schultz has been, you know, a good tight end. It should be a good team, but it hasn't kind of clicked.
No, it hasn't. Like you said, talented players that you know can put up the points, but just, I don't know, something about having two undersized backs that you're relying on to catch balls that haven't really caught as many as some all in 1 week and the next, those sorts of problems. Devontae has been open a lot, just can't get the ball in the right area. Good talented players, you know, he wish he was riding Alexander Mattison into the playoffs right now, but that was kind of a washout situation. And you know that even if he was going to be in the toilet bowl, he wishes he had Tank Dell. So this team, even though still has really talented players, I think a couple things zigged when he thought they were going to say. Now he's in a position where he could end up getting that punishment. And I think top three funniest situations would be Kramer getting the punishment.
Kevin, you cut out a lot there, but yeah, bad team.
Yep.
Bad team. All right. So, Kevin, as we kind of take a back out here, any parting thoughts, anything that we didn't get off our chest talking through there?
I don't know what I'm supposed to do differently besides score more points than everybody else. It's pretty stupid. I'll be initiating median point scoring, I guess, as a rule for the 2025 season, but I don't know.
Yeah,
that's all I got. Just frustration.
I was talking to somebody. This league isn't gonna. We're not gonna change any rules, of course. But having like the sixth seed in the playoffs be the highest scoring team not in the playoffs. It's an interesting idea. Also, I don't know what they're called, but the leagues that you don't have a matchup every week, it's just the top six scoring teams get wins and the bottom six get losses. Another really interesting, you know, I don't think that's as fun because you don't get the head-to-head grudge matches, but yeah, it sucks. I mean, there's a potential that, you know, a very good potential actually that like two out of the top five scoring teams don't make the playoffs.
Kind of fucked up, but it's a random game. It's for fun. Despite all the hazing and, I don't know, making fun of each other and stuff, it's all for fun. So I'm not mad. I'm just furious.
All right. Well, I, you know, a part of me just hopes I lose so I can really lock into the Wolves even more, Kevin.
God, 16-4. Are you kidding me? Best record in the league. Wolves back.
Yeah. Wolves back, everyone. Have a good one.
See ya.